Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Relentless Pursuit International Radio Show with your admirable, exemplary, exquisite, distinguished, accomplished, superlative, transcendent, distinctive, incomparable, magnificent, paradigmatic, pulchritudinous,
Philandus.
Huh?
What are you talking about? What are you doing?
I'm introducing the radio show.
No, with that accent and those words.
I just thought it would sound good if we spruced it up
a little. It's 8:30. Ain't nobody got time for that. We got to get this show on the road.
The Relentless Pursuit International Radio Show with your hosts, Philandus Harris
and Tamika Sanders. Relentless Pursuit is a faith-based, young adult radio talk show created to bridge the gaps between racial, spiritual, and social divides. We discuss controversial issues that directly hinder the millennial generation from pursuing their God-given purpose.
We want to showcase young adults who are relentlessly pursuing God and their passions in the form of ministry, entrepreneurship, and through their gifts and talents.
Our goal is to equip our listeners with biblical principles that will nurture their dreams and catapult them into their divine destiny.
It's a relentless pursuit.
Good evening, everybody. This is Philandus. We just want to thank you all for tuning in again for Daddy Issues Part 2. We have a very special guest tonight. His name is Antar Muhammad. He's a really well-known person with the Potter's House, our church. And tonight we're going to be talking about the fatherless father, and he's going to be discussing his struggles that he had as a young boy growing up without a father, and how he had to overcome those struggles, learning how to be the dad that he never had. And so we just want to open up and introduce him tonight. And so we hope you enjoy this show.
Well, good evening, everyone. I just want to do a brief intro to our guest, Antar. At the tender age of 23, Antar Muhammad stepped into the elite group of fatherhood. With no manual and no instruction on the difference between a dad and a father, Antar began the navigation of striving to become a great dad to his firstborn. Understanding that this was the start of a long-term position that he would hold forever, he began the track of becoming the dependable protector that his children could count on. After his second daughter was born, Mr. Muhammad decided he wanted to give his girl something that many children are denied the luxury of, being a father fully present in his children's lives at all times. For some, your career and passions intertwine, but the birthing of this organization for dads was a passion coinciding with Antar's purpose. Like most men who wear multiple hats, Mr. Muhammad wears many hats in his life. Along with serving as an executive coordinator to one of the world's premier speakers and motivators, he himself is also a public speaker, business etiquette trainer, mentor, and consultant. In his home, he serves as a husband to his wife of over 15 years and loving father to his two daughters. Ages may be good. In his heart, In his heart and through the efforts of Dads United Incorporated, he is set to service dads as an encourager, uplifter, and a resource of how to be a better dad. Knowing that this group spans the globe, Antar is committed to connect dads all across the country who are equally passionate about being a present participant and provider for their children. Striving to make sure dads get their credit and honor, he will continue to work to share the message with the world, good dads do exist. So right. Everyone can just welcome our guest, Muhammad Antar. And Antar, we just can greet our guest.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here. Hello, everybody. Hello, my Facebook.
We are on Facebook Live as well. So if you are on Facebook, if you know someone that is unable to call in, tell them that we are streaming online. On Facebook, you have to go to Antar Muhammad's Facebook page, add him as a friend, and you should be able to see us live.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm truly honored, and I think it's a great passion, and I can't wait for us to jump into it.
Awesome. So, Philandis, you go ahead and start. Well, I guess starting off, Antar, we just want you to give a brief summary of your childhood, of your experience not having your dad. What was that like? How did that come into fruition?
Well, you know, I grew up with my mother. My mother and my father, they divorced when I was two. So, you know, I've always had some sort of relationship with my father, not the ideal relationship. So, you know, it would be the thing where I would go over to the house on the weekends or vacation, summer vacation or a summer break or something like that. So, you know, it was more of a weekend fatherhood kind of thing, which is unfortunately what a lot of us are dealing with.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good because that's somewhat of what I experienced. Except my parents divorced when I was five. So I totally get being only able to spend time with your father on the weekends, because for me it was every weekend and sometimes throughout the week. So
did you have siblings? Or?
I did. My father, I have other siblings with my father. My mother just has one other child, and that's my younger sister. My father, I have some older siblings and some younger siblings. So It's a kind of great mixture there with my father, but with my mother, it's just one.
Okay. So were they able to live and be active? Was he able to be active in their lives?
Well, with my older siblings, my father was, he and his former wife, they did live together. And so, you know, he did get an opportunity to raise those siblings in the house with my younger siblings as well. And so with myself and a couple of other siblings, you know, we were not raised in the house with our father. So that broke some great challenges. Mm-hmm. Not being raised in the house with your father is it's an interesting thing to see what should be normal because of what society says, and then not actually living that quote unquote normal life as a kid. I'm sure every kid of a divorced house wishes that their mother and father could get along.
Yeah.
And could, you know, could reconcile and could be together, but unfortunately it didn't happen that way all the time.
So when you were young, did you understand what was going on? Did you know that you were what you were missing out, or that you were missing out on anything, or that did that not hit you until you were older?
Well, I knew it was not quote unquote normal,
mm-hmm.
and I never really dwelled on it, you know. And I knew that I wanted my father there. But I really didn't fully grasp the meaning of not having a father in the house present until I got much older and realized the implications that it indeed plays of not truly having your father in your life on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
You know, when you started out doing it as two, you know, living in a separate house, it becomes normal. So it wasn't a thing that, I didn't know what to expect. You know, I didn't really realize what I was missing because I was two.
It was your normal.
Yeah. And so it was normal. So,
was normal,
you know,
kid, yeah.
Unfortunately, that's what happens. It's a lot of kids, you know, their parents divorce young. When they're young, so they don't grow up with an ideal of this is how life should be. Mm-hmm. You just have an ideal of this is what life is. That makes sense.
Okay.
So I guess it would be a good question to ask, since you were so young when it happened and that was your norm, what society says is abnormal. What age were you when you began to kind of put things together? Like, hey, I didn't grow up with a dad, and I see, did you have friends that still had their parents together? And did you start making comparisons, like what was different with them than how your household was ran?
Yeah, I had friends. I had a few friends that had their fathers with them, and so you would look at that, and part of you would want to have your dad there. But again, it had become my norm, mm-hmm. of seeing my father on the weekend. That it wasn't until I was a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
And later on in your teenage and close to adulthood years, and you start thinking, that's not really how this thing is supposed to go.
Right.
You know, I understand blended families. I know a lot of blended families. So, you know, I'm not all, you know, disparaging those families, but I am saying that as a kid, it doesn't dawn on you that's really not how this thing should go.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a normality.
Yeah, and I can relate to that because, you know, as we discussed in Daddy Issues Part 1, I share my personal story of not having my dad, and I actually didn't really grasp that I was missing something until college.
Mm-hmm.
And when I really got out into the world to try and be an adult and to try and have male relationships and all that stuff, and then it just wasn't working, and I'm like, hey, what's wrong? And I said in that show, growing up, you know, my dad lived in San Antonio. I was in Ohio. So the way I related to him, it was like, oh, my dad in San Antonio, that's dad. You call him if you need something. You go visit him in the summer. I didn't understand that there was something I was missing until I was 18, 19, that age. So I definitely relate. When you're a kid, you really don't make those connections because it is your normal. Unless it's a situation where you experience both of your parents in a home and they divorced at an age where you know, you can see the contrast.
Yeah.
But at 2, 3, even 4, you really don't remember.
No, you don't really know.
You don't know.
You know, you don't have the full concept of what daddy is because you've never lived in an environment where dad was a active major player at all times.
Right.
Now, my father is a great man. He's a good man. I'm not disparaging his name, but just not having that opportunity to live full time in the house with your father, once a man becomes an adult and he then begins to have children, it can begin to play out that, okay, I think I did miss something and I didn't realize it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens. You know, it sometimes takes you to get older and then you look back and you start recalculating things with, and, you know, not being able to grow up and go into the room with your father in the morning and not having those experiences of your father teaching you how to tie a tie or teaching you how to ride your bike. You know, as you get older, you begin to realize those things, but you don't realize it at that small age because you just, you know, for the most part, it was normal because, unfortunately, all the other kids, a majority of the other kids, they didn't have fathers. So, you know, it was only a few of us who had fathers. You know, it was a few people that knew their father, and it was a few people, of us who actually knew of and interacted with our fathers. So, you know, the numbers got smaller when it came to, you know, the fatherhood interaction.
So what comes to mind when you're saying that is I know a lot of people, male and female, who grew up with the absence of a consistent father figure in their lives. And a lot of the males that I know, they had struggles with even relating to other men as someone of authority or a father figure or a mentor. Tell us about how did you have those struggles, or were there any men in your childhood that you could say was like a father figure on a consistent basis?
Well, you know, I thank God because I really didn't have a lot. I don't have this traumatic story to where, you know, I was so rebellious and rambunctious, and so I didn't have that. I did have you know, pastors and, you know, other family members. And again, I had my father who I could see on the weekend. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of had a little bit of a balance. And I did the typical teenage things where you go out and you have to fool a little bit. But it wasn't just so rambunctious that I couldn't get back.
Right.
but like most African-American men my age, we had Dr. Huxtable. You know, the reality is, you know, it sounds humorous, but a lot of people looked up to Dr. Huxtable because you always thought, if my dad was active, I wonder what he'd be like that. Hmm. And so a lot of men look up to him. And, you know, unfortunately, we don't have any kind of shows like that on television now to where you can really look up to you know, a positive black male. But, you know, when a man doesn't grow up with a father in the house, the only males that a man would see sometimes would be a man of authority. Yeah. And so it's harder for them to understand male love and male affection because every man that has ever been in your life has been there for a short period of time, yeah. Has been a teacher, telling you what to do, has been a coach, coaching you through a particular season or to win a game, has been an officer correcting you or, you know, arresting you, or has been a judge sentencing you. So a lot of times, not having a father in your life, you know, if there are no other males who love you enough to take you in, then it's hard for a man to find actually have or show male affection because they've just never seen it. They've never seen a man say that I love you and mean it. They've seen them say, do this, do that, you know, shoot, or, you know, you shouldn't do this or you shouldn't do that, but they don't know how to receive a man saying, I care about you, I love you. They've never seen it before. And so now they become fathers, and now they have to do it, and they don't know how to because they've never seen male-on-male affection. I don't know how. It's a weird feeling of telling your son, I love you, because you've never seen a man say, I love you. You know what I mean? So it's weird because I don't know how to receive love, or I don't know how to give that male love.
That's interesting. I think that's an interesting concept. So how did you overcome that? What steps did you take to be able to, I know you have daughters, but what steps did you take to overcome and not being able to receive male love and give male love?
Well, you know, the great thing about me is, you know, my father would always say, you know, I love you. At the end of every call, he would always say, I love you. So for me, it wasn't really a struggle to understand it. And then I had smaller brothers. But I can't understand how males don't understand it, okay, having never received it. And even men my age, whose fathers are older and who have never said, I love you. And so now they don't know how to give it to their sons. And it's reciprocal. Because a lot of fathers, you know, who were maybe in their 50s or 60s, you know, they were just of the age, of the generation where they didn't talk much. And you don't tell your son, I love you. And you don't open up to your son. You don't open up to your children. So they don't understand the male voice because they never really heard it affectionately.
So, I want to ask you, so did you ever, I know you visited your dad on the weekend, so you did get a glimpse of, you know, a man in a small portion of your identity, but did you ever, going through your adolescence, struggle with finding out who you are and how to become a man and how to, before becoming a father, just how to be a man?
Absolutely, because without that father shooting his son like a bow and arrow, then the boy, as being the arrow, is going to shoot towards anything society says, this is the attributes of a man. This is what makes you a man. These attributes are going to make you a man. And as a young boy, you go after those things that society has said, this makes me a man. Not having anybody ever show you, son, this is a man. This is you follow this direction, you go to school, you get your education, you handle your money, you handle your business, that's what makes you a man. But having never had that blueprint, you know, shown in front of you, then you're going to go after whatever society shows you and whatever you perceive to be a man. Because here's the challenge, and I know I'm kind of deviating, but a teenage boy being in a house with a single mother, and he's the oldest, or regardless, the mother a lot of times says, you're the man of the house. You are the man of the house, right? Mm-hmm. You take out the trash, you set the alarm, you are the man of the house. So when a boy gets older and he has the old folks say start smelling himself, and he starts becoming rambunctious and rebellious, and he says, I'm a man, and you say, you're not a man, you're a boy. Well, you're confusing because you told him he was the man of the house at 13. Now he's 16, he feels like a man, his body is saying he's a man, his head is saying you're a man, but now you're telling him he's not the man.
That's good.
So you're confusing. Yeah. He doesn't know what to believe. Because he's going through this turn. He's trying to figure out who is he. That's why the young man is full of testosterone, because he's full of energy and he's full of vigor. And he has all his energy pent up inside of him. And so you come telling him he's a man. You've been saying it for the last 5 years because he was the only male of the house. And now he gets old enough and his body is changing. His voice is getting deeper. And, you know, he may be getting a little hair on his chin. And now you say, you're not the man. You're not the man of the house. You're not an adult. Well, you're confusing the boy. So he doesn't know what to believe. And not having that father in the house, then he has no blueprint to show him, no, son, this is how a man reacts. This is how a man thinks. This is how a man processes.
That's deep.
All right, I don't even know what to say.
So, like, okay, with that then, when when there's a young boy in the house and there's just the mother as the authority figure. I guess growing up in that situation, sort of, I know you saw your father on the weekends, but did you primarily live with your mother, right?
I did.
Okay. And so with that, with her being the authority figure and she delegates what goes and what doesn't go, how now, looking back, how do you see that that was different and maybe not as edifying, I should say, as it would have been for someone who grew up with both parents where there's that balance?
Well, see, you have this balance, okay? Most in generally, okay, women think outwardly, okay? And you all are, most of the time, more emotional.
All right, Anto, you're on our show now. I'm just joking. Go ahead. Be honest. We want to hear.
You think with your emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And a man, most of our thinking is going to be inwardly. Okay? So, you ask your husband, your boyfriend, your man, whoever, who grew up without a father, for an instant reaction. And now he's going to react based off his emotions because it's all the reaction he's always seen from his mother,
mm-hmm.
who's raised him. So mama says, no, you don't take that. You go down to that school and you tell him what I said and it's next. Daddy may say, don't do it. Think about it. Okay. So having never seen that process of how a man processes, for lack of a better term, then he doesn't know how to sit back and process information and sit back and think about it, and then you react. That's why men and women, we think differently. That's just a common fact. We think differently, right? So you all think outwardly. We think inwardly. We'll hear you. We'll hear what you're saying, but we're not going to process it like you want it processed. We're not going to answer it like you want it answered because we're processing it. We're thinking about it. And so sometimes you may think, oh, well, he's slow or he's aloof or he doesn't care. That's not true. We just have a different way of processing the information. And so having never grown up in a house with a man, you don't see how a man processes information out.
So let me ask, what if it's a situation where the mom, what if the mother does not, she don't understand how that the man processes things differently. So in her approach of giving instructions and discipline and all of that stuff is to think outwardly and emotionally. And, you know, she's not understanding that the man needs to sit back, process the information, receive it, think about it, all that
well,
stuff.
See,
like, how does that interfere with?
But see, that's where you cannot get your advice about a man from another woman. You can't do it. That's why you have to go to a male that you trust and ask him, help me understand his thinking. Because you'll think about something and I'll know what you're thinking. Because you'll tell me. Me? I'll think about something, and if the first reaction I give you is probably not going to be the best reaction or the best answer, and then I'll come back and I'll tell you in about a few days after I thought about it and I processed it, and then I'll say, you know what, I was thinking about such and such. You like, well, I was thinking about that a week ago. Yeah, but we're different in the way we process information. It's not saying that either one is right or wrong, but there's that great balance. That you can't go to the extreme on either one, but not having the dad in the house, you don't get to see that process. And I know I may be overusing the word, but you don't get to see how your dad thinks things out. And here's what ends up happening. You get a young man who's never seen that before. He's lived his entire life based off of his emotions. I guarantee you, the young man, if he doesn't learn how to sit back and think all the way out, think himself clear so to speak. He'll jump from job to job. He'll jump from place to place. He'll jump from lover to lover. He would, and sometimes, unfortunately, he'll do something stupid and he'll commit a crime. And then you say, well, what were you thinking? I don't know.
Because I wasn't.
They were not, they didn't process it out. They didn't go about it logically.
Like a man would. That's good. So what I was going with that question is, do you think that if the mother, being authoritative, can emasculate a man if she doesn't have that understanding in her discipline, like strip him of his masculinity at a certain extent because she don't understand that as a man, he needs to go through these steps to of processing and things. She's thinking, oh, he need to process it the way I process it. So do you think
can't, you can't turn the problem with mothers raising sons, and I thank God my mother didn't raise me like that, and with women who get married and they never had a dad, you can't make me think like you. And that's the problem. That is very emasculating for us to be having a discussion. You ask me, what do you think about it? And I tell you, I don't know. And you say, what do you mean you don't know? How can you not know what to think about it? You should know what to think about it. I need an answer right now. Well, see, you think we're being slow or, you know, we're dumb or we're just aloof or we don't care. And that's not true. When he says, I don't know, he really means I don't know. We haven't had time to process it. Also, not growing up in the house with your father, you don't get the sense of when a man comes home from work, okay, he needs time to detox. Detox. Do not let him come back in the house. And as soon as he gets back in the house, the refrigerator stops running, the kids need this, they need this, we need to do this, the car in the summer, don't do it. He needs time to process. That's why you'll notice that whenever you've seen a dad or father or somebody come back into the house, they would always, as Jesus did, they would steal away for a minute and kind of have some time to themselves and kind of have some quiet time. That's because as men, we just need that time of quiet. And that time to collect our thoughts, that time to collect ourselves. Because in our mind, whether we're answering phones or flipping burgers or doing construction, we've been out here for 8 hours or 10 hours fighting the world for our family's sake. We've been out here fighting the world. We've been out here holding the world back just another day. And then to come back into the house and you don't give him a chance to breathe. Give me a chance to breathe before you dump something else on them is enough to make a man pop.
Well, that's good. We actually going to take a little short commercial break from there. Just want to say that if you are just tuning in, you are listening to Relentless Pursuit International Radio with your host, Tamika F. Landis. The topic of discussion today, we're doing Daddy Issues Part 2, Fatherless Fathers, and we're discussing fathers that are, we are discussing fathers that did not grow up with a father in their home and trying to imitate something that they never saw once they become fathers themselves. And we have our wonderful guest on the show, Antar Muhammad, who is the founder and CEO of Dads United. It is an organization that we're going to talk about in more detail in a few here, but organization basically to encourage dads, primarily African-American fathers, to be active in their children's lives at all times. And we are shooting live today. If you are on Facebook, if you can go on to Antar Muhammad, he's shooting, doing live, Facebook Live. And we are in the wonderful facility of R&R Tax and Bookkeeping. So we want to give Mr. Jerome Rogers a thank you for allowing him to utilize our facility. If you are in the Dallas area and you need help with your taxes, this is the place to go. It's R&R Tax and Bookkeeping. They help you with business taxes, individual taxes. If you need a notary public, this is the place to go. And so a contact information, 2201 Main Street, Suite 785, Dallas, Texas, 75201. That's R&R Tax and Bookkeeping. So heading back to the show, Antar, our brief intermission. We want to go ahead and recap some Philandis on what we have been talking about and then go ahead into the next phase of our interview.
Yeah, so Ansar's just been telling us about, he's giving us a different angle on daddy issues coming from a male perspective and also just coming from a perspective of a father who grew up without a present father. Like, he was there, but maybe not as consistent as someone would have had if the parents were still married. And so we're talking about the different effects that he's had a revelation about growing up and becoming a father, becoming a man. We're talking about the different revelations that he's had about how fatherlessness affects the identity of a young man as he's growing up and trying to figure life out and trying to figure out who he is. And we just got done talking about the difference between the way men and women process and the way that they react to things and the way that they think as well. And so it's been a pretty powerful conversation. And I think another question that I wanted to ask was, you talked about how seeing a man respond to things, like he doesn't respond as quick as we do as women. And so do you think that if there's young guys out there or even men who are grown now who have grown up without that fatherly figure and seeing that balance, what would you say to them now as far as like maybe doing a self-evaluation? Like, do I react now as I saw my mother react, and do I process the way I saw my mother process? Like, if they realize that, what would you say to them to help them kind of, I guess, correct that? And like, would you recommend them having a mentor, or what would you recommend?
I would recommend that they would follow At Dads United at Home.
Of course.
Shameless plug. No, I would recommend that they find someone who they really trust, who may be a father, and, you know, just gauge and try to gain wisdom and insight from them. The thing about it is most men are pretty lonely, mm-hmm, because we don't have that guy we can trust for a couple of reasons, because they feel like, you know, maybe the guy's at competition with me. Guys are all about competition. They feel like, you know, we feel like we got this ego thing, and we feel like, you know, I got something to prove. So sometimes it's hard to open up to another male, because men measure each other off of our performance. What do you do for a living? First thing, you know, you'll ask another man is, what do you do for a living? So sometimes it's kind of hard for a man to open up to another man, mm-hmm, because they don't want to feel lesser than the man, or they don't want the other man to feel greater than them.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to find somebody who you trust and who you can talk to and who you can open up with and who you can ask questions.
Yeah.
And then you really have to look at yourself. You have to look at your approaches and look at, you have to look at your tactics. And that's even in regards to discipline.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't had that male in your life, now you're trying to be that man of the house. Now you're trying to be that father. You have to ask yourself, okay, is this for the good of my house, right? And you have to be wise enough to know if you are married, then, you know, is it good for my house? Okay, you know, have you and your spouse, maybe have you consulted your spouse about it? Have you thought the process all the way through? Now, you know, if it's a discipline thing, you have to ask yourself, you know, just because I got a whooping for it, should I really whoop them for this? Is it a whoopable offense?
Yeah.
You know, you really have to to look at yourself and evaluate and think about yourself and think about the way you were parented. Was that effective in this area? I'm not saying the whole entire, you know, journey of your life, but for where you are for this particular situation, how would you want to be parented in this situation? Okay. So you've never seen a dad. You never had a dad. Now your son or your daughter plays football, or I guess girls play football. But your daughter plays volleyball, as mine does, and your son plays basketball or football. So now you have to ask yourself the question, should I neglect my son's games because of work, because that's what daddy did? Or should I say, you know what, I'm going to take the time and I'm going to sacrifice and I'm going to go to my son's or daughter's game. Or the piano recital. Let's move on from just the sports. The piano recital, the spelling bee. You have to give that child the parent you wish you had. And see, a lot of guys use the, you know, they use the excuse, you know, oh, my daddy wasn't there. I don't know how to be a good dad. But my response to that is, just because you didn't have it does not mean they don't deserve it.
That's good.
You have to give them what you want. I wished my parents would have come to the PTA meetings and come to the school meetings. So guess where I'm at? I'm at the school. At the school, anytime I can. They used to know me by first name almost at the elementary school. Now my kids don't even let me come to the school anymore.
Oh, we got some emotions right there. A little hurt.
Yeah. But anyway, you have to give that child the parent you wish you had.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean that you have to be Mr. Softy or, you know, Mr. Hardcore, but there's a balance in it. You know, that's balancing, you know, who you are right now, your work schedule, your family environment. You have to balance all that. And again, it doesn't hurt to look at everything about you, because remember, these are not just kids. These are seeds, and eventually they're going to be somebody's parents one day.
Yeah. And you said something really key, like being the parent that you didn't have. Because a lot of people that I know, like I know a couple of guys who have children and they're not present in their child's life. And it's not necessarily all because they're just deadbeat dads. Like they tried, but because they tried and they failed, they kind of gave up. And a part of that giving up wasn't just because they were discouraged because it didn't work out. A lot of it was because they're still kind of focused on the lack that they had and the pain that they had from not having their father. They're still mad at their dad for not being there.
I understand. And here's the great thing. Sometimes to be a great dad, you have to lose that selfishness.
Exactly.
You really do.
That's what I was getting at.
Yeah. You there has to be a part of you that you figure, you know, okay, I'm not gonna let that affect me being a great parent. I'm gonna step over that, be the parent again that I wanted. Here's what happens. As the kids get older, okay. Well, let me start this way. When the kids are small, you're the hero, mm-hmm. right? The dad comes in the house, dad, you're the hero. They're jumping on you, you know, you're Superman, you're larger than life. Okay. As the kid gets older, they realize Superman is really Clark Kent. You're not just Superman, you're a guy. Hey, you know, you used to get, you know, fireworks and a parade when you come in the house. Now you get, hey, if that. Sometimes you get nothing. So to a man, we don't know sometimes how to fix it. And if you never had a dad, you don't realize that, or an older male, that that's a phase you go through, right? It's just a phase. It's a teenage phase. When they get older, you'll be through it. But having never seen that before and not knowing how to fix it, you think I'm not needed. See, because men are fixers. We want to fix something. If we can't fix something, then that means that we are ineffective. So we're ineffective. There's no use in me being here. You don't need me. I'm ineffective. Which makes me question my masculinity and my manhood, because as a man, I should be able to fix it. You brought a problem to me, I should be able to fix it. And then as a kid gets older, you can't fix it.
So do you think that not having the father in the home takes away their ability to think, to fix the problem? So, like, for example, if you're a son, you don't have your dad around, you have something inside of you that say, okay, I want to fix this, but knowing how to fix the problem without seeing that example, well, this is what dad would do, so this is what dad did to fix it, so this is what I'm going to do. So when you don't have that example, where's your frame of reference?
Well, again, it's having somebody in your life that you can talk to, that you trust. It's really, if you've never seen it, if you don't have somebody in your life that you trust, then it's about you really just
trial and error.
And see, this is what a lot of guys don't realize, is that they see all of these great dads out here and they say, man, you're a really great dad. But what they don't realize is most of us who you consider great, we're scratching our way through. We're all scratching our way through. It's not like I've ever been the father of a teenager before. I've never been a father of a teenager before. I don't know what a father of a teenager does. I'm scratching my way through this. I've never been at this age I'm at right now, but I have been a son. I don't have sons. I have been a son. I am a son. So, you know, I am an observer of life. Try to say that five times. I'm an observer of life, me personally. And so, you know, if you don't see it in front of you, then I look around and you just study it. Then, you know, though Dads United is technically not a Christian organization, I am a Christian, so I go back to God, you know, on some things that I may not understand, and then he may give me wisdom, or he may have somebody come to me and show me, you know, that this is just normal. A lot of things that we think is abstract or abnormal, it's normal. It's a part of life. And that's what a dad does. He kind of gives you that blueprint and says, okay, son, now this is going to happen, that's going to happen, this is going to happen. And then, you know, you get older and you say, oh, okay, that makes sense. But if you've never seen that, then you think that all of this is just this anomaly and just specialized to me. And that's not true. It's life. Life happens.
You know, I'm going to ask you to talk about the organization in just a second. But I kind of want you to, what would you say to the guys out here who are dads, they have children, but they're not there. And it doesn't matter why they're not there, but what would you say to them? What would you encourage them with? Like, how would you kind of just persuade them that they can do it, that they should do it, that they need to do it? Like, what do you have to say to them?
You know, one thing that really made me start this organization is I looked at somebody close who had neglected his children. He and the now ex-wife had separated, and his children were really in a place. They were teenagers, and they really wanted him bad. And it made me think, and I called him, but I thought, the time you're missing is never time you're going to get back. You're going to regret it, man. You are going to regret the time you could have been there. I'm not talking about work. That's different. Because all of us, you know, if you're a responsible man, you got work obligations. I understand that. But I'm talking about those times you could be there and you choose not to be there. That's never time you'll get back. You know, if it's a brother listening, if it's a brother watching, and you got kids, and you are neglecting, don't give me that tomfoolery that, you know the woman won't let me see him. I understand that. Those are, you know, mitigating circumstances, and you should definitely seek counsel and do all you can to show the kid that you want to be there. But to my other brothers who are not there at all, you're going to regret it. See, because what you don't realize is y'all both getting older. And eventually, those kids may be the very people who have to make the decision whether to pull a cord. I'm not saying you have to be perfect. I'm not saying you have to be, Dr. Huxtable. I'm not saying that you have to be what you see on TV, but you at least have to be willing to try. You have to be willing to try to be better than your father was. Try. Your father didn't talk much. Try to be a better talker. Your father didn't show very much emotion. Try to show emotion to your kids. It's not you. It doesn't feel natural. It feels odd. It feels awkward. But try to be there for your kids mentally and emotionally. Because giving your kids money is giving them, as I've heard Bishop Jake say, it's giving them the least of you. It's giving them money. Because the reality is, I mean, you can get money. Money comes and goes. Shoes comes and goes. I mean, clothes come and go. But what you give them on the inside is what's going to stay. Them seeing that my daddy loved me. Them seeing that my dad would fight the world to come get me. There's no greater feeling in the world than knowing that my dad, if something was wrong, my dad would tear this whole building down and come get me. That's what you need to make your kids feel like. If your kids don't feel like that, you're failing. If your kids do not know that if they are in trouble, you will walk across water to get them, you're failing. You're failing. You're not a man. You're failing. And I'm telling you, the time that you're wasting is never time you'll be able to get back. You won't be able to teach a 35-year-old man how to ride a bicycle. It's going to be a little different. You have to do it now. Because, again, you're getting older. You feel young, but you're getting older. And those kids, they're in second grade now, but eventually they'll be the ones who will be driving you to the hospital. Because your kidneys have failed. And that because you chose not to take a part in their life, they may have a malice and say, you know what? He can drive himself.
Yeah.
They're seeds. Kids are seeds. And you're planting them. Either you're planting them in good soil or you're planting them in the toilet. It's up to you.
That's a good contrast.
Wow, that was good. So when your book coming out, Antar?
I don't have a book.
You don't have a
book? I don't have a book, but I am reading a book.
No, I know, but when you going to write your book?
I'm not writing a book. My kids are too young. Why write a book? Here's the thing. Okay. Soapbox moment, people. Here's the thing. I'm 38, okay? And my girls are 15 and 12, okay? And though I've been married 16 years, I think it's foolish to write a book that you don't know the outcome yet.
Okay, I got
it. Why write a book about
it? You haven't finished.
I'm in the middle stages. And then once I've been the father of toddlers, the father of young kids, now I'm the father of a preteen and a teenager, and then I'll be the father of adult girls, and that'll bring about a new set of challenges. So I'm not, I think the problem with people, you know, in this younger generation is as soon as they get some information, now you got to go throw it out there. Now you got to tweet it. Oh my God, that's hot. I got to tweet it. I got to post it. I got to share it. Just savor it. Savor it. Sit on it for a minute.
Well, I am going to quote something you said tonight on
Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
Quote it. But what I'm saying is people don't take time to savor the information. Again, they don't take time to process that information out. And to think it all the way out. Think about it all the way out. Does that make sense, what I'm about to post? Does this make sense? Does me writing a book on kids and how to raise a family, and my kids are under 10, does that make sense? We've been married 3 years, now we're doing a marriage seminar. Does that make sense? It just doesn't make sense. You know what I mean? You have to process it out.
Got you. So we're running low on time. We want to give you an opportunity to tell our audience about Dads United. What inspired you? Well, we obviously know what inspired you, but how did you get started? What is it all about? How can they stay connected with you?
Well, Dads United started, and quick story, and I'll be done. I can remember it like it was yesterday. I was sitting in my house the 4th of July weekend, 2014, and I was watching the news, and I was hearing about all the murders that had taken place on the 4th of July weekend, and I thought, man, something has got to be done, and I even prayed, God, something's got to be done. You can't depend on the military to come in, because if you do that, it's going to be a war zone. You can't depend on the school district. The educational system is a farce. You can't depend on the government. What can be done? And I felt like it was God really saying you have to get the fathers back reengaged in the lives of their children. That's the way you do it. That's the way you reverse things. And I tell people, having a father back in the kids' lives or actively in the kids' life is not a catch-all, but it's a catch-some. Yes. We won't catch everything, but we can catch some of this stuff that's happening. And so that's one part. The second part that made me want to start it is I realized there are periodicals for successful women. There's periodicals for successful Black women. But you get looking for a periodical that targets men beyond fashion or cars, you don't see it. And then when you look for a periodical or somewhere, some kind of support that targets African American men, it's nothing, little to nothing. And I thought there has to be somebody out there telling these dads, hey, man, you matter. You are important. You are doing a great job. Keep your head up. Don't let these temporary set of circumstances hold you down. You are great. You are needed. You are valuable. There's nobody that can ever replace you, man. You are the man for the job. Those kids love you. They may not say it every day, but they love you. They need you. They don't run up on you every day and hug and kiss you, but those kids need you just as bad now as they did when they were 4 and 5. And I thought there needs to be somewhere that does that and shows that good dads exist. So I came up with Dads United.
That's powerful. I'm feeling inspired.
Yes.
But, so we're... Can people find you?
You can go to Instagram at Dads United. You can go to Facebook, Dads United / Dads United USA, or you can go to our website, www.dadsunitedusa.org. Go there. You can subscribe your email, and you'll get a link to confirm it, and then you'll get updates and periodicals as we send it out.
Wow. You know what, Anton, we're going to have a part two to the part two.
We have to.
Because there's so much more that I want to say, but I can't say. I really wanted to get more into, you know, why the fathers are not in the home from a spiritual aspect and from a natural aspect. Like, where is the disconnect? Where does that originate from? And we don't have time to go into all of that detail, but we're going to have you back on the show to kind of dig into that, dig deep into that. But we're going to go ahead and open up the lines. If there are anyone who has any questions, you can go ahead and press 1 on your keypad. We have a minute or so. Go ahead and log in if you have any questions for Mr. Muhammad. If not, go ahead and follow him on Instagram again at Dads United. Keep him on your radar. If you are a dad out there needing some encouragement, this is definitely the place to go, Dads United Incorporated.
Absolutely.
And until next time, ladies and gentlemen. No, but you have a wonderful week. Come back and tune in next Monday, same time, 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if you are all the way in California, as our Coach D is, we're going to say 6:30 Pacific Standard Time. We have not forgotten about you. So join us next week as we go. It's going to be girl talk. We have a dynamic speaker. You're going to be on the show. We're going to have girl talk. We have a dynamic speaker coming all the way from Atlanta. So you don't want to miss this. The topic is going to be called Girl, Get Out of Your Feelings. So if you have a friend, if you are a friend,
if you and
your feelings, we're trying to get you out.
Help you get out.
So that you can progress and succeed and be everything that God has created you to be. So tune in next week. Until then, you all have a wonderful rest of the week. God bless you, and take care. Good night.
Many times I can't see what you do.